Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Jingle bell,
Two of the Blitz is live. Merry Blitzmas indeed. Welcome in to the second hour of the program today, broadcasting live right here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio, right here broadcasting live 105.7 FM 1340 AM. As always, the podcast will be uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. As always, the Periscope is streaming right now live on the Facebook and Twitter accounts in case you would go like to check out the show that way. By the way, we say goodbye to Chance Collins for the show today. He's got to go take care of a couple errands right now. So hopefully Chance has a great rest of the day. We'll see him back tomorrow. What else? Go ahead and check out fanrunradio.com. It's a great place to catch up with all your latest Tennessee news as we head into the next day of Florida Week 2020, as slow as it may be going. And then last but not least, hey, go ahead and check out the Fan Run Radio app, which is available free to download on whatever service you have. Again, that is free to download. You can take the show, take the station, and take the voluntary reaction exclusively wherever you are headed throughout your day, each and every day. But, of course, you already knew all that. Gentlemen, hour number one in the books, hour number two on deck. You guys feeling good?
Ready.
Tremendous. Well, I told you a second ago, Brandon, that Chance is gone.
Yes, I saw him leave.
However, we still have ourselves a four-man booth, at least for the time being.
Fishtails.
As we will start out this second hour by going to our good friend. We haven't heard from him in a while. It's good to know that he's still here.
I feel like we hear from him about once a month.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I was kind of hoping. I feel like a parent who's sending their kid off to college. I was kind of hoping we'd hear a little bit more from him. But it's okay. I'll take what I can get. Hello and welcome to the show, our own Weston Brown.
Glove, glove, glove. Ho, ho, ho.
Festive fish.
Merry Christmas, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Fish?
How are you doing, my friend? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Just hanging in there. I was hoping, I didn't know Chance was leaving. He would have really liked what I had to say today. But
I'm sure
I'll get to that.
He will. I guarantee you, he's listening, and he'll give us a text.
He always gave me a hard time for this, but I'll save the best for last. I guess first we'll talk about Florida and how dead of a week it is. I kind of had something that came to me. You know, the conversation comes around every year that this game's not a rivalry anymore, and which there's a point to be made for that. And I thought the only reason it stayed a rivalry in Tennessee fans' minds is because we always play them at the beginning of the season. Even if we're 1-1, or like last season, I guess we were 1-2 going in there, there's still a glimmer of hope. You know, I mean, it might have been worthless hope, but
I totally,
you know,
see where you're
when it's that early in the season, you might think, oh, maybe the first 2 weeks are a fluke, maybe we can turn it around here. But if we played Florida the last week or the last few weeks every season, it wouldn't be a rivalry. It wouldn't have been for a long time, because I mean, our seasons are almost always derailed by this point.
I think you have a good point. I think you have a good point, Fish. At this point, the season's over. I mean, do we even have to play these last three games? Can we just pack it up?
I still have hope.
I think it makes it worse than we're playing.
I totally see what you're saying there, right? Like, there's totally that sense of, you know, maybe last year, like, you know, maybe last year you would have, you know, you're on a little bit of a win streak, but in regards to just the recent history, if you play Florida every year at the end of the year, that is, you know, not a very anticipated game. If you would say that, you know, do you buy into any of those, you know, whether they say Tennessee-Florida isn't really a rivalry anymore, Tennessee-Alabama, Tennessee-Georgia, do you buy into any of those more than the other?
I would say more so it's not a rivalry with Alabama just because of how lopsided it is. And under Pruitt, it's been lopsided against Florida, but, at least for the most part under Jones and I guess even Dooley, we were semi-competitive.
Butch played them pretty close. Butch played them pretty close just about every year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it still felt like it, you know, it was close in that regard. Now, Alabama, it hasn't felt like a rivalry in 10 years, I don't think. So I would think, I mean, it still is, but it's just not a competitive rivalry, if you could even say that.
Well, it is Florida week, and it is a slow march through it.
But I mean, here's the thing: what does this say about your program and about your head coach, and kind of where you are moving forward? If in year three against supposedly one of your biggest rivals. And no one around, nobody around town even really cares, because you know what's coming. The season is a complete wash at this point. You're double-digit underdogs at home to one of your biggest rivals. What are we doing? Why? What is the reason that you would want to bring him back?
You know, I think exactly to that point. Any college program, any college
in
fan
year three,
base, and really any sports fan base for the most part. You're always going to go through times of frustration, right? Times of anger, times of just jubilation. You're going to go through the whole thing. But when you know that you have lost touch with the fan base, I think is when you have a sense of apathy set in. And there's so many ways where I see that right now for Tennessee. I see this rock bottom this year as different than any of the rock bottoms we've hit in the past, because there's been so much more apathy by the fan base this year. And not to blame either, for us as well in our viewing interests. Like it is hard to watch the team because they are boring. They are a product of the same. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for here, but they're a product of the same. I don't know.
This kind of goes on my next point, Rick. What you're saying is, I don't know if this year. How bad we were with the combination of COVID, if this doesn't do permanent damage to the fan base. Like, we hired Hugh Freeze and, you know, things are looking good. There's so much apathy and, you know, people are finding other stuff to do this year that, say we hire Hugh Freeze and COVID goes away next year. I mean, do we sell 50,000 season tickets? I don't know if we do.
I don't know. I think that there are only a few coaches that you could hire if you do end up firing Pruitt. I think there are only a handful of coaches that you can hire that will get genuine excitement for the fan base. Part of me thinks that, yeah, whoever they hire, even if it is somebody from Troy or wherever we end up hiring somebody from, that a portion of the fan base is going to be will buy in after the press conference, just like they always do. But also, I think that a lot of a growing portion of the fan base is getting to the point where they're not going to buy in just because there's a new coach. Give me a reason to come to the games. Give me a reason to get excited. I'm not just going to buy it just because we've got something different. I want to see results, I think that's where a like I said, a growing portion of the fan base is getting with Tennessee football.
And yeah, I believe we had a we had a blind following, a blind loyalty for a long time, and I think we killed that this year.
You know, I also think that there is a sense of, you know, and I do believe that, you know, the four of us especially, like, there's a huge portion of the fan base that grew up with the stories of old, right? And I know for me, and, you know, I'm not speaking for you guys, but I'd imagine that you guys maybe feel the same. For a long time, I have spent so much of my Tennessee fandom waiting to get back to those, right? Waiting to get back to a point where my dad, you know, would tell us that we were before I was a fan, before I started watching. And there does come to a point where, you know, I do kind of wanted the same thing about the fan base long term, or just about the excitement level long term, until you can show proven consistency where there really is a thing. I know that Tennessee fans are the greatest in the world. There's no doubt about it. I don't know who else is sticking with their team to this extent for this long, but I do wonder if that has an expiration date. And maybe we start to see that in season ticket sales or overall interaction with the, you know, in the community and with radio shows like this. And I wonder what that's maybe going to look like heading into next year.
All right, guys, you want to move on to something a little bit more optimistic?
Yeah, let's get a little positivity flowing.
What you got for us?
Oh, all right. Well,
you know he's excited when he does a grunt there. Oh,
nice Seahawks win last night. I'm sure you didn't have to be. You don't have to be a Seahawks fan to pull against the Eagles.
No,
so I think that was
very true, my friend.
No,
very
no,
true.
No, Weston, your Seahawks can burn in hell.
Oh my Lord, Charlie.
That was harsh.
How are they going to not cover that, Weston? They're going to get stopped on fourth and goal. They're going to get stopped on fourth down. They're just not going to let Russell Wilson throw it to DK Metcalf, who is toasting Darius Slay all night long. DK Metcalf could add 400 yards if he wanted to. And you're just not going to throw it to Tyler Lockett. You're just going to have the most conservative play calling in the world and then let them catch a Hail Mary and let them get the two-point conversion and cost me so much money. They can burn.
Breathe.
And the Eagles
Charlie,
can burn,
breathe.
Too.
Breathe.
You can burn together.
Don't bet on Monday Night Football. You know those are a wild card. Don't bet either way on any Monday Night Football game.
Weston, we'd like to get people to bet, so, you know.
Yeah.
Bet
on Monday Night Football, always.
DraftKings, yeah, Monday Night.
No, FanDuel.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was close. Other than that, Seahawks are looking pretty good at 8-3. I didn't know last night that they had the easiest remaining schedule. So they go 4-1 or maybe win out. They could be looking at that one seat.
What is that? What does that NFC West look like right now? You got the Seahawks on top at 8-3, the Rams 7-4, the Cardinals 6-5, and the Niners 5-6. That division's kind of evened out a little bit from where it was maybe, you know, 4 or 5 weeks into the season. Seahawks, staying on top. Rams, I think, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but, I mean, Seahawks look as primed as they have been. Although, does your own defense worry you?
You know, if we come out and we just try to outscore everybody, it really doesn't. But if we try to play like we did last night, which is how we've played for the past 5 years, that worries me. That's not how we should play. I mean, we should just, you know, go all offense in the playoffs, and I think we got a puncher's chance.
That's new school football, Team 50 Burger.
I was about to say, Weston, you guys are just like exactly like the Titans in a sense, where your offense can score with the best of them, but your defense is historically bad. There's no such thing as an easy game or an easy schedule when your defense sucks like ours do.
I honestly like the Titans as a whole a little bit more, just because they got more of a running game. And the defense is marginally better. I mean, you're talking about like 25th in the league versus dead last in the league, but
third downs is where we suck.
I think the Titans are built for another good run.
I think it's going to be fun to see how this whole thing shapes out. That dude, there are more top level teams than there have been. We have extra playoff spots to give away this year. Things are looking like they're going to shape up fairly well for the close of the NFL season.
All right, guys, are you ready for the moment? The reason I called in, this is why I wish Chance was on here.
All right, bring it to us, the big finale.
All right, so you guys know of my never-ending switching of hobbies and stuff I do.
Oh.
Are you not mushrooming anymore?
Wow. Oh.
Mushrooming has been put on hold.
What about pickleball?
No pickleball.
You can't pickleball with COVID.
Yeah, COVID denies pickleball.
Yeah, the
pickleball
senior citizens. I think he's playing with senior citizens.
Oh, you're right. You had a bunch of old lady friends.
I believe pickleball was a phase. I will go ahead and say that.
There's some of these that
I will have a mild interest for the rest of my life in, and there's some that I'll never do again.
What's the new one on the table?
All right, I'm learning a new language on Babbel. I got a subscription. Any guesses of what the language is? It's not a
German.
Super
Latin.
Swahili.
Oh, good one.
You were warmer on your first guess, Charlie.
Well, what'd you guess first?
Portuguese.
German?
You're colder.
Russian.
Belgium. What do they speak in Belgium?
No, Brandon. I think it was Brandon
what?
Said it.
Russian.
So you're learning Russian on the internet.
Yeah. So this all started with my grandparents have always said their favorite movie is Dr. Zhivago. You got to watch Dr. Zhivago. And I was like, okay. And I've looked it up a few times. Well, it's like a 4-hour movie. So I'm like, do I really want to watch a 4-hour movie from 1965? Like, it's one of those things I've had on my list to do for like 5 years, but just never did it. Well, about a month ago, me and my wife sat down and watched it, and it was good. It wasn't like breathtaking. It was definitely not my favorite movie, but it was a good movie. And I don't know, but it just sparked an interest. And so I was just goofing off one day, searching around Knoxville, and turns out Knoxville has a Russian market. So I said, oh, I got to check this out.
I will go with you whenever you want.
Our own Knoxville. We have a Russian market somewhere?
Yes. Well, it's mainly Russian, but it's like Eastern European altogether. Like, it's pretty wild. And so I go and buy like $50 worth of stuff I can't even pronounce or like know what it is hardly.
Were you just grabbing stuff off the shelves?
Yes. Some of it was good. Some of it I don't even know what it was. But I decided to get this Babbel, which you can do on your laptop or on your app, and it is so hard. I don't know what I'll ever use it for, but I've had more interest in it than any other language. And they say that's how you'll actually learn a language. You just can't say, all right, I'm going to learn Mandarin. And if you have no interest, you'll never learn it. So maybe since I have an interest, maybe it'll keep going. But I've really enjoyed it.
Babushka.
That's grandmother.
Borscht.
That's a soup.
Yeah, yeah. How about this one? Dos vidanya, get out of here, fish!
Done with his call.
Dos vidanya. It means goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Brandon?
Yeah?
Why did we flush fish?
I don't know.
Oh. Just so we could have that moment right there?
Well, I mean, we're almost out of time. We need to take a break.
What word did you just drop on him?
Dos vidanya.
Dos
vidonuts?
That's why they've partnered with Toys for Tots to be your go-to drop-off center this Christmas. To donate, stop by Toyota Knoxville.
All right, here we go, my friends. Back here on the Blitz, 11:22. Rick, Brandon, and Charlie hanging out with you as we just got off the phone with Weston there, our good friend the Fish, who is now learning Russian. You don't know what to expect every day, but you just roll with it.
It's just something about these interns we get.
I know. Well, where do we get them? I do not know.
I speak a little German.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Ich kannst Bauch tanzen super gut.
Okay. Color me impressed.
What does that mean?
I can belly dance very well.
Oh, man. That's good. That's good. I hope that you can turn that into a good pickup line somewhere down the road. Brandon, speaking of good pickup lines, we've kind of talked about this story a little bit already today, but I still got a little bit more on it. Jeremy Pruitt and this Tennessee staff, they might need some good pickup lines heading forward down the road when it comes to recruiting. you know, the summer, and it really is kind of wild to think back about the summer in hindsight, about everything that happened in that big recruiting cycle. I mean, Tennessee, and remember, it was Tennessee and then Mack Brown in North Carolina, just above anybody else, were locking down recruits at the most unreal rate you had ever seen. It was Tennessee and it was North Carolina fighting for these first and these second spots, and you really could see all the momentum swinging in Tennessee's favor. But is this not another time where it just it sucks right now to be a Tennessee fan, because it feels like it's another situation where Tennessee only wins kind of the off-season moments, right? It seems like we always have some kind of big win during the off-season. It's a recruiting cycle. It's passing somebody on a recruiting list. It's getting these new assistant coaches. It feels like Tennessee always has these big wins right there. But it is tiring to think that those are our only wins. And you know what? We were, of course, I don't want to say we celebrated too early. We celebrated appropriately. We were getting recruits left and right. We couldn't get enough.
It got us through COVID fast enough.
Absolutely. It gave us so much content through quarantine.
But what did we say then?
Yeah.
What did we say at the time?
Right.
Yeah, it's nice that you're getting these guys now. But even then, you knew that you were going to have to hold on to them for so long. You got to hold on to them through this season. And, yeah, nobody thought that we were going to be this bad this season. So, I mean, it makes sense that now you're...
Yeah, I mean, I remember we cautioned a couple things. We're like, okay, well, we already have almost our entire class locked in, so we are as high as it's ever going to be. When all these other schools get their prospects and catch up, we'll likely drop back around to 8th or 9th or 10th. And then also, it's not like you can add more prospects. The only thing that can happen is you can lose some, and now
yeah,
that's what's happening.
And, you know, you're absolutely right, and there were other things we talked about. We talked about how some of these, and I'm not going to, you know, put any kind of generalization on, but statistically, some of these kids from the Southern Florida area are statistically more likely to go back and forth in their recruitments. Terrence Lewis, we knew was going to be a tough one to lock down. He's from Opa-locka, Florida, right there. An absolute stud. He number 5 player overall in Florida, number 1 inside linebacker in the country, number 17 player overall in the country. And you guys are right. We knew that we had to hang on to this class, but we thought, hey, maybe if you can kind of keep it in the range where maybe you can still land in the top 10, well, that would still be really, really great. But here's why, to me, this is not, you know, these dominoes are not done falling yet. And I would love to be wrong on this. But I think a lot of these players who committed to us are very similar situation to Terrence Lewis. Brandon, when he committed to Tennessee on April 30th, do you know how many in-person recruits,
none.
Recruiting trips he had taken?
None.
Absolutely, positively none. He hadn't gone to Alabama. He hadn't gone to Florida. Hadn't gone to Georgia. Hadn't gone to, let's see what else is on his list. Auburn, yeah, they're there. Clemson, yep, of course. LSU, all the big ones.
I mean, anywhere.
They're all there.
5-star, top 10 player.
This guy is going to get courted around until National Signing Day like he is a king in the castle. There is no surprise whatsoever that, you know, Tennessee's going to have a hard time locking these guys down. And it's because you did it all when nobody could travel around. Now, props to Tennessee's staff. Like, he had to be a hell of a salesman in order to do that. I think the wave of momentum certainly carried you along the way, too. But this is the reality we're facing now. We're going to have to look at these guys. Who's left? Who are some of the biggest guys we have? Dylan Brooks, defensive end. Aaron Willis, outside linebacker. Kamen Marley, athlete. Katron Evans, defensive tackle. These are all guys that we got to hope, you know, maybe don't take this. All right, so maybe Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks has taken a couple visits already. Maybe he's a guy that you can consider safer for Tennessee. But some of these others, man, they haven't gone anywhere else. I really worry about that. Aaron Willis hasn't gone to these other places. He's just gotten offers.
Well, the good news is that Caden Salter is firmly committed.
Yeah.
He remains steadfast.
And there's no doubt that, you know, a lot of these recruits, we will be thrilled with every single one that comes in, but none of them matter the same way that the quarterback does. Just position-wise, not necessarily player-wise. Obviously, they all matter coming in, but position-wise, you got to get that quarterback locked down. But at the same time, Brandon, I have no reason to believe this other than I'm prone to expect the unexpected now, especially with everything that's gone on with this year and combined with Tennessee. But I still look at that situation over at Texas. They lost their 4-star quarterback this year.
We just got to make it 2 more weeks.
And they lost their number five quarterback next.
No.
He keeps tweeting.
We're good. We're in good shape. I believe him.
I want to.
I believe.
Oh.
I believe him at his word. He's committed.
It's a bold move.
2 weeks.
Bold move.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Again, I have no reason to distrust him. I'm just trying to expect the unexpected, I guess. Brandon, Tennessee has moved down to number 13 in the national rankings, number 5 in the SEC. Obviously, we'll see where that continues to go. But the other tough side of this recruiting thing, in case that is where you want to find your optimism for Tennessee football, the other tough thing is, like, you don't have a whole slew of guys you can add, right, to climb back up in the position rankings. Each time you drop a spot, tough luck. You hope for the best, and you hope maybe the staff has a couple more tricks up their sleeve, but I guess at the end of the day, Brian, you had the right sentence earlier. A lot of people said, got to hang on to Jeremy Pruitt to keep this great recruiting class together. He put it together over the summer. He's the glue. Yeah, it seems like maybe that glue wasn't as strong as we thought. Or wasn't as strong as we would have liked to believe that in a perfect world it would be.
I mean, that's just always the argument.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, that's college football. We're dealing with 18-year-old kids here, right? 18-year-old kids who are football players, but, man, they get put on such a pedestal because, you know, that's what football is in our society. But these 18-year-old kids, they're I can't even imagine making that kind of decision at 18. Much less getting, like, scrutinized about it. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know what kind of decisions I was making then. But either way, that is breaking down a little bit about the latest Tennessee news coming out of the 2021 recruiting cycle. Again, as 5-star inside linebacker Terrence Lewis from Opa-locka, Florida, has decommitted from the Vols. We'll see where they go next. We'll see where we go next. I believe coming up next, you won't want to miss it. We got a great opening drive, or I guess maybe more of a closing drive. We'll run through a bunch of stories here and see what we can do here in the final 30 minutes of the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Christmas tree
won't be the same, dear, if you.
And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz. The beginning of the Blitzmas season. Lots of fun surprises coming up with that, so be sure to be looking forward to that all month coming up. But before we do anything else, gentlemen, it is time for a little bit of a closing drive as we are winding down here on this Tuesday edition of the show. Are you guys ready to roll with a little bit of closing drive?
Closing drive.
Yeah. Closing time.
Let's do it.
All right. Charlie, hit my music.
Yes. I was still on the Christmas file.
It's infectious. What can we say? You get the music back, it's infectious. Here we go. First down, as we told you earlier, one of the longest running traditions in college football is now another victim of the 2020 year. As for the first time since its inception in 1935, the Sun Bowl will be canceled this year because of the pandemic. because of growing concerns in the host city of El Paso, Texas. But the fourth longest and the fourth oldest running consecutive bowl game, Brandon, now off the table. Now there's a chance for a new number four.
The Pinstripe Bowl also dropped out, I saw yesterday.
The Pinstripe Bowl?
Oh, that stinks. I love seeing the game at Yankee Stadium.
Me too. There's supposed to be one at Fenway this year, too, I think, that had to delay it a year.
Two classics.
Oh, wow. That would have been really cool, too.
But, yeah, we're still going to get the Birmingham Bowl.
The Gasparilla Bowl.
Liberty Bowl!
Yep. So, there you go. Won't have the Sun Bowl. By the way, do you think I asked you earlier if you were up to date on your college bowl? Do you think you can get anywhere to naming the longest five running bowls?
Rose.
That would be number one. Annually since 1916.
Sugar.
Sugar would be number three since 1935. So I guess tied with Sun Bowl.
Peach.
Peach would be out of the top five.
Citrus.
Citrus is number seven. Let's see. Where is five?
Hold on.
Is the Liberty Bowl one of them?
No.
No. Okay, so, I mean, the two are obviously classic ones.
I don't think the Fiesta Bowl's that old, is
no.
it?
No.
The Gator Bowl?
Mm-mm.
I don't know, then.
The Orange Bowl.
Ah, Orange Bowl. Orange Bowl. Orange.
Ah. Fiesta.
Brandon, last one is close to my home.
Cotton Bowl.
There you go. That's number five. There you go. Those are the five longest bowls.
We're idiots, Brandon.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the other ones.
I put you on the spot. That would have been tough. But yeah, Sun Bowl off the table. Guys, second down. The Denver Broncos quarterback room has tested negative. And they will be returning to practice Wednesday, or at least the three quarterbacks, including Drew Lock, who were out because of the contact tracing side of things for the Broncos game on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday. Now, the reason I bring this up to you guys is I just wanted to get your opinion on this. I was listening to a interview with Jerry Jones from this morning when I was driving into the show this morning, and I guess from his perspective, from an owner's perspective, he did not feel bad for the Broncos. He did not, you know, he felt no remorse to them. He put it on the same level as an injury. Hey, you assume a risk when you have a running quarterback, just like you assume risk when you put those quarterbacks in the same room together. You have to be smarter in kind of spreading them out. He does not blame the NFL for not moving the game, saying that, you know, hey, Broncos, you've had every opportunity in the world to keep those four guys apart that they're your only options.
Why are we giving
Where do you stand on that?
Why are we giving the Ravens an extra day to practice?
Well, I just think that this situation, I mean, I kind of agree with what Rick's saying, is that you understand the rules, and if you choose not to follow them or not set yourself up in a situation that would be more advantageous for you, then that's your own undoing.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I mean, I'm fine with that.
I've heard other execs say that, too. I mean, you've seen a lot of teams, like the Titans, for example, I know, or one of them, I saw an article about it the other day, have had a designated survivor, basically, a quarterback that does not come into team facilities.
Wow.
That does not meet with any of the other quarterbacks, sure. That does not practice with the team. He does Zoom meetings with the team every day, studies the film, studies the playbook, studies the install, and works
but
out
never
at home.
Comes in.
And does not come in. And there are other teams that do that in case a situation like that did arise.
Well, I mean, that's smart. And, I mean, I feel the same way about Jerry Jones. I mean, I didn't feel – I mean, sucks to be the Broncos. But I want to know, why did the Ravens get an extra day of practice?
Well, they didn't get to practice yesterday. The NFL canceled their practice, and I think they wanted one more day to make sure the positive test had curtailed. Also, there were some Ravens players that were threatening to strike, which could have really derailed things. So
also,
I think
we got to factor in that the NFL probably cares more about the Ravens right now than the Broncos.
Who cares?
And I totally agree with you guys. I very much
just
agree
play the game.
On the side of things that, you know, hey, don't keep, you know, you have better precautions if you know that, hey, these are your only four options at quarterback. Maybe spread them out a little bit more.
Keep Blake Bortles at home, guys.
I don't know how possible it is. By the way, shout out to Kiefer Sutherland for helping a lot of us know what the term designated survivor now means. But I will say, though, I don't agree on the mindset that, you know, it's just as, you know, it's on the same level as an injury. I think that these are completely different things. Again, one that is maybe more preventable than the other, although maybe there is a level of just kind of freak nature to both of them to some degree. And third down. Guys, a lot of conversation about the college football playoffs right now. One of those being Ohio State. Obviously, the thought process on the table right now is that if Ohio State misses one more Big Ten game, they will no longer be eligible for the playoffs. Ryan Day, coach of Ohio State, says that he will not be able to coach this Saturday because of the COVID-19 protocols.
Well, they would be eligible for the playoffs. They wouldn't be eligible for the Big Ten championship.
Do you think that, okay, I see what you're saying. Do you think
that essentially
takes them out? No. Or do you think that they can still get in without them?
No, I think if Northwestern would have not lost to Michigan State and then won the Big Ten championship undefeated, it would have ruled out Ohio State. But now that Indiana has lost Penix Jr. for the year with a torn ACL, I don't think that they would get in if they wanted the Big Ten championship instead of Ohio State. So I think Ohio State still has a pretty clear pathway.
That's a great thought. Absolutely, that, you know, Northwestern certainly kind of controlled their own destiny for a while there, or at least
for about
last
an hour
week.
And a half.
Yeah, last week, I guess I should really be saying, they could have ran the table and really forced the College Football Playoff Committee's hand. But as you alluded to, they did kind of lose that opportunity. Fourth and final down. Guys, this isn't really necessarily a breaking news story or just a news story in general, but I did find this interesting, and it kind of speaks to maybe where Tennessee is looked at right now on the national level. I'm reading here a ESPN Plus article, so I guess even one of the Paygate ones, but it's talking about the top assistant coaches right now that are basically on the hot seat in college football. Right, the top assistant coaches for struggling teams that will likely take the fall for their team. And I think that that's a really interesting way to put it. Because, again, the headline, why assistant coaches for struggling college football teams might take the fall. This is something that we've talked about for weeks now. The assistant, it is not off the table in Tennessee's situation that all the assistant coaches could take the entire fall for this season. That Jeremy Pruitt stays, Philip Fulmer brings him a new offensive or brings him a new staff, and we roll with that for next year.
Well, we're gonna roll with three different offensive coordinators in his time here. Yeah, that's the solution. That'll fix it.
All that goes to say is just that the number one team that's mentioned in that article,
is Tennessee.
So you know, and kind of this theory right now that's floating around the college football world about, you know, which assistant coaches might take the fall for their team's horrible failures. Tennessee is the poster team for that argument. So, but
who do you fire? You can literally make a case to fire everyone.
So it's actually funny you say that. It says here who to watch on this staff. It says the whole offensive staff.
What about maybe the defensive one too?
We already have to get a defensive line coach.
This is what one SEC assistant said about Tennessee. Quote, they're terrible on offense. Wait. This is so good. I'm not kidding. An anonymous SEC assistant said this. They're terrible on offense. It is brutal to watch.
Yeah.
It's all about
that
one quarterback that's just so bad.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's easy. In the Mitsubishi at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with payments as low as $179 a month. Plus, we're giving you $4,000 over KBB for your trade and $8,000 off of an addendum. It's easy in a Mitsubishi. If you're upside down in your vehicle, we can get you out so you have nothing to worry about because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Not only that, but your new Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors comes with a 10-year, 100,000.
You know, I can't stop thinking about that quote. An anonymous SEC assistant. They're terrible on offense. It's brutal to watch. What other industry is it normalized to basically anonymously talk smack about your opposition? Like, imagine in the restaurant industry. Like, you just heard people just anonymously smack talking. I mean, I know that's kind of food.
Anonymous Chili's chef says the Applebee's kitchen is disgusting.
Oh, there's beef there. You just know it. Anyways, talking about some of these games that are happening, man, if you want some action tonight, then there is so much good college basketball, you will not have to leave your TV at all. I know Charlie's got some bets he likes. I know I'm looking at some. Brandon, I know FanDuel has us on the bets tonight.
FanDuel has you covered, as we've been telling you. It's legal in Tennessee, so you can get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook. You can place your first bet on FanDuel risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at winning some cash. So whether you want to take a shot at – is it Kansas and Kentucky tonight?
It is – sorry, I just had it pulled up.
There's some good games tonight.
Yeah, no, yes. There are some exceptional Kansas games and Kentucky. Tonight. Yeah. And then Duke and Michigan State. And, you know, those are like the two marquee games, but there's so much more good basketball today.
Gonzaga's playing West Virginia, is that right? Is that today?
That is not today, but you have Texas and Indiana, who are both going to be ranked by this time next week. Same with UNC Stanford. You have potential first-round pick Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State playing 2-0 Marquette. Also, my favorite bet of the night, Western Kentucky money line against Louisville. I think Western Kentucky is a really good team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who's the head coach there? Is it still Rick Stansbury?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Just so much. And you get college basketball, though, from like 11 to midnight tonight. You can just gamble all day. It's amazing.
With FanDuel. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got the simple, easy-to-use app. You can bet on any and every game. You can same game parlays, pick a couple games, put a parlay together, however you want to do it. And once you win, FanDuel is going to get you your money in as little as 24 hours because that's the right thing to do. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make sure you sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you to the right place. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code BLITZ. You must be 21 years or older, present in the state of Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go. Go check out FanDuel Sportsbook tonight. Go make yourself a little bit of money. Guys, we only got 2 minutes left in the show today. Now, with it being Florida week and with it just being a completely different Florida week than we're all used to, we got to find a little bit of optimism here heading into this game on Saturday. So we've put our heads together and we have the solution. We're going to end each show a little bit differently than what we normally do. We'll save the If You Haven't Heard, we'll save the national days, and we'll end things like how you really want it. Charlie, hit my music.
Everyone from Florida is stupid. Everyone from Florida is dumb. I might not be the brightest guy, but next to them my IQ's high. If they had guitars, here's how they'd strum.
All right, Brandon, you ready to go to Tampa, Florida?
Tampa?
Tampa, Florida, where we check in with a man by the name of Jesus Oscar Ferreira Jr.
Okay.
J-O-F Jr. So I'm a Joff Jr.
Joffrey.
There you go. Brandon, it's not so good for Ferreira Jr. as this Florida man. He was arrested for pelting his girlfriend in the, quote, head and face area with sweet and sour sauce packets on Sunday from McDonald's because he was angry that she had, quote, brought the wrong food home from McDonald's. This altercation
He didn't want the chicken nuggies?
This altercation was so violent that it did lead to an arrest in this situation. Our individual here, Jesus, was just slinging these sweet and sour sauce packets to such a violent extent that it became criminal.
give him a baseball and somebody sign him. If he's throwing sweet and sour packets hard enough to catch a case, this guy's an athlete.
Why couldn't he just eat the chicken nuggets? What's wrong with the chicken nuggets?
You know, and that's the worst part of the story. Unfortunately, it doesn't even say what he wanted versus what was brought home.
You know what?
But like,
you know
all,
what he wanted?
I
can tell you. I can tell you what he wanted.
What did he want?
He wanted a fillet of fish.
Sometimes the new normal feels like anything but normal. At Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, some things are still the same, like convenient ways to manage your money with our mobile app and free access to your credit score. Oh, and of course, there's always those friendly faces at every branch, even if those friendly faces are behind masks. Find out more at